You just don't know if you don't try. So you might as well just do it, even if you're afraid. Because if something doesn't scare you, then it's not challenging enough. It's okay for it to scare you a bit because you know you'll work that much harder to succeed.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope. Today's guest is Persistence Culture. Two of the owners, Gage Chacon and Anissa Cisneros, join us to discuss the founding of Persistence Culture, the dynamic of their ownership team, and how they've managed to grow so quickly. But they also get a bit more personal and discuss quitting their previous pursuits to start the company without any certainty and overcoming family hardships. Through it all, their optimism is ever present, and they remind us that good will come from the darkest of seasons. If you enjoy the show, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review so more people can be encouraged by the stories we share. Now, here's the conversation with Persistence Culture. All right. Well, we've got the Persistence Culture team for the Do Hard Things podcast today. Super excited to have you guys. Love for you to just introduce who was able to make it for the podcast. And then after you introduce yourself with name, maybe what you do, talk about, I'd love to hear the story of how you kind of came together as Persistent Culture. So without further ado, introduce yourselves.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having us. We're so excited to be here. I'm Anissa and I head up our apparel department.
I am Gage and I'm head of the training department.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I guess the story, do you want to start?
We collectively had a group of friends, and we actually started in a garage, pretty much. It actually kind of started before in like another CrossFit gym, and we all just became really good friends. Started in a garage, got a really cool starting team together. Juan Enrique Guzman, his wife Melanie Guzman, as well as a few other training coaches as well. And then there's Christian Sulik; he's another owner as well. Started from a garage, just went. Guns blazing, found a location, built up from nothing. And then from 3.5 years later, we're 3 gyms, possibly 4 in the next month.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to take me back to, well, actually I have 2 questions. I'm going to ask this one first. So when people ask you guys, like out and about, maybe you're at like a social gathering, new friend's house, meeting somebody new, they go, what do you do? How do you answer that question?
I would say that we strive every day to create better humans. That's what Persistence Culture Foundation was built off of. And that's where we ended up branching out into media and nutrition and apparel, because we wanted to give somebody everything they needed under the sun to live a culture of persistence, from what you do, which is training, from what you wear, which is our apparel, from what you eat, which is our nutrition line, and then from what you consume every day and listen to, which is our podcast. So that's what I always say, is that we're in the business of creating better humans.
Good word. Gage, do you have anything to add to that, or would you answer it differently?
No, I mean, probably the best way you can answer it. A lot of people look at us and they get to see individual parts sometimes. So they get to see Anissa's apparel side and be like, oh, this is what Persistence Culture is. And then someone sees a training side and sees that, and then we get to actually educate and help them understand that, no, Persistence Culture is this bigger entity of making better humans. So no matter what you're doing or where you're going, the training side makes you the foundation of the better human, fitness-wise and health-wise, but the apparel side allows you to represent the culture and what you personally represent. So
Yeah. Okay, so the second question is, take me back to that, like, garage setting and, you know, that like first seed of the idea that, hey, this isn't just like our group in a garage anymore. Like, we want to do something for more than just this group. Like, how did that conversation even come about? You know, of like, because a lot of people work out in garages together, but like, why did your garage workout program group turn into three gyms, maybe four, these multiple entities? Like, how did that, what was that like first seed of conversation? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, I can't go to the exact conversation, but I know it was like a 3-year long conversation.
So, really?
Me and another owner, Enrique, we would sit, after we'd work out, we would sit in the garage for about two and a half to maybe 4 hours after, just talking about like what the possibilities would be. And yeah, like 3 years was just this loading period. And then there was kind of an opportunity that just said, you know what, we have the people, we have a lot of people that we're close to and that would support us. And it just, you know, let's take a chance, like just go for it.
Yeah. Okay. And so was it just the two of you when it first started, and then you brought everybody in after you said, let's go for it, or in that 3-year period, you collectively?
Yeah. So collectively in a 3-year period. So like, it was just like fun conversations for 3 years. It was like, we owned it, this is what we would do. And, Anissa was there as well. Christian was there as well. Melanie was there as well. And we all five came together with Christian as well. And just said, you know what, like, if this is a good team, this is that strong system that we can kind of build off of, and each of us can kind of find a good route and kind of start growing from there.
Yeah.
We came from a gym that, you know, had a great community, just maybe not the leadership that we'd want at the top. So what we strive to do was build a community where we as a family could then welcome them in. So like, if you were to come over to any of our houses, it's like we would welcome you in as family. And that's what the aspect that we wanted to create it in our own gym.
Okay. So back to, you know, that group, you guys are trying to figure this out. Where did the idea for persistence culture, was that in that 3-year period when you said, I'm going to start this, did you even know, or are you just like, no, let's go for it? And then that came about later. Like, where did that come from?
I don't know. Did we always like knew we wanted to start it?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't know how fast it was going to be.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is we, a few of us thought it would just be a future thing coming down the road. And it just kind of, to be honest, there was a situation that we just kind of like that opportunity arise. Mm-hmm. We had a really close friend of ours text Enrique, and the funny words were, save us, Batman, because the community was kind of separating, and then mm-hmm. the gym, and we were all interested in starting a gym. So Enrique pulled us all together, and we had this little meeting together, and you know what, like, what is this a possible thing? So it was more so a situation happened. The friend came up, literally the text message says, save us, Batman. So then Enrique calls me and says, let's do this. And then we all collectively got together, set this little meeting up. We try to figure out the logos, the names, everything, all that once.
Yeah.
And it took a month. Yeah. there was some like up and downs with figuring out what exactly the names and stuff would be. But yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys remember any of the other names that you kicked around?
One of the original names that I had was Force Fitness. And it just,
we made shirts and everything.
Made shirts. We did a little competition. Me and Enrique did it, and, it just, Force didn't work out. It just wasn't, I mean, there's a few other handful of gyms out there that had the same name, and we wanted to be different, obviously. And we wanted to find something that had a little bit of meaning for everybody, not just something that I came up with a while ago.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Any other ones, Anissa?
I can't think of any. I feel like it's been persistence culture for me from the beginning. I remember we were like exploring like P word, just like neat words that meant something. And then I know you came up with persistence.
Yeah.
And then we like called Enrique and we're like, you know, persistence. And then he added like culture because we needed something like else instead of it just being like persistence, you know, like persistence gym is persistence CrossFit, but it's like, we're not only staying in the CrossFit space. So we need to like have a brand that we can branch off of. And that's where like culture resonated, because that's what we strive to do, is build like a really healthy, well-armed and welcoming culture. So it was just kind of like a collective group effort. And then it was picking out logos. And I think that was the fun part, because a lot of us do like, you know, simple things and the simplicity of it, which we ended up going with. And then some wanted like a little more crazier logos. And we were like, no, these are too tacky. And then the color came from Christian, our other partner. And at first, I remember Melanie and I were like, no, not yellow. Like, who uses yellow? We were yellow until we weren't in it, and it clicked. And now it's like, you know, yellow's our new favorite color.
Everybody should be wearing yellow.
Everyone should be wearing yellow, right?
And I know we went from there to having one of our biggest walls in every gym to a massive yellow wall.
Literally.
So that's literally the whole thing about our gyms.
Yeah. It's it's branded for us now, literally.
Right.
Yellow wall.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Yellow wall is a hashtag.
Yeah. So when people come, and our idea behind the yellow wall is that dreams come true in front of the yellow wall. You can make anything possible in front of the yellow wall, no matter what you're doing. So that's why it's really important for us in all our facilities to have a gigantic yellow wall.
Yeah. Oh man, I kind of wish there was a giant yellow wall behind you right now. That would be.
You know, this is our new headquarters space. It's under construction, so there will be a yellow wall, but for now there's a yellow sign.
I appreciate the sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
The yellow wall will probably be a little distracting. So maybe I'm thankful there's no yellow wall. Yeah. But the idea of having a dream come true in front of the yellow wall on the podcast is compelling. So, so talk a little bit about what it's like to found or start something with a group of people who I gotta believe, like, at different points have different visions for what persistence culture is, and how you kind of have worked through, you know, your differences in vision, maybe in personality, and been able to advance and move forward together. Because I don't think you'd have the success that you've had if you didn't do that well. Like, if you had somebody you're dragging, you know, through the last 3.5 years, or who's actively fighting or resisting against it, like, you wouldn't probably be where you are. So you've gotten everybody aligned. Like, what's that process like?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I think we definitely challenged with the collective group of, like, what is our vision, right? And I think with the five owners, it's me, myself, Anissa, Christian, Rika, and Melanie. Once we found that vision, once we all agreed on that vision and, like, set that standard, we all started working on what's our strengths and what's our weaknesses, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of us, we understand we have weaknesses, and some things take some time to build to be a strength. But we allow our strengths to help out the team in that way. So, and allow our weaknesses and allow our partner team members to take on our weaknesses and actually make that their strength. So pretty much worked as a collective group to kind of, what's your strength, what's your weakness? I can help you here, you can help me here. And we all started spreading out that way.
Yeah. And transparency and communication. Yeah. I think, like, you know, if you're upset with something, it's being communicative about it and transparent about it and working through it. And at the end of the day, like, we're all family. So, you know, we always said that if the family starts getting affected, then the walls are coming down, you know, and that's important to us. So we try to keep that aspect. And as a group, I think we've been through a lot together, a lot of really difficult things. So to come out on the other side and be stronger just kind of shows that each person individually has, like, a strength and is a great human to the core and cares about the company.
Yeah. And stronger for it, right? At the end of the day, having been through all that, like, I heard somebody talking about marriage, and they were, like, advocating for getting married young, because a lot of people will wait. And I'm not saying I agree with this, but a lot of people will wait because they want to, like, get everything in order. And they are advocating for getting married young because you get have somebody to go through the difficult things to get in order with you. Like, why would you wait? And it's a compelling argument in the sense that, like, we don't want to go through hard things on our own. And, like, why? You're better together, you know, at the end of the day. And so it sounds like that's been true for you guys. And what I'll just acknowledge, you know, Gage, the idea of being humble in your weaknesses. Like, you said it pretty nonchalantly, but, like, that's not something that's easy. Like, you don't easily come about a group of people who all think that way of, like, hey, like, usually people are reticent to say, I suck at this thing, or I need your help in this. and live in their lane. Like a lot of times people want to just power through or fake it till they make it. So how, like, was that just natural overflow of your guys' personalities, or have you had to work that out of like, hey, go ahead and admit you're wrong here. I see it in you. And like, hey, stay in your lane. You're really good at this thing. And like, people have been able to receive that, to recognize it, or did people come to the table with all that?
I think it's been easy for us to all kind of like say that. I think there's something very empowering to admit that you don't know how to do something, because then it gives you opportunity to learn something that you didn't know. And majority of us have never owned a business before. We don't know the ins and outs. So it has been a big learning opportunity and a huge growth. Like a lot of us have had a lot of growth, you know, in the ups and downs, but that comes with admitting that you don't know everything and you're going to make mistakes. Mistakes are okay. Failures are okay, but you learn from them and you do better, be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And to kind of add to that, is something we did get pretty lucky with the original five of us, that we all were pretty open and honest with each other. And when we did make mistakes, we communicated that. But it's something that we talk about often. We talk about like our weaknesses and our strengths, and like, no one gets offended when someone says like, hey, you need to start talking a little bit more, be a little bit more communicative, or you need to step into this role a little bit more, things like that. So we've definitely had the conversations a lot more of just being more open and not so offended when criticism comes your way.
Yeah.
So it's a good mix. And you guys had that like 3-year dating period, right? So you knew what you were getting into business with. Like, it wasn't like you just went and found some sugar daddy to help you with your business. Like, you guys like dated and courted each other a little bit of like.
Now we hung out every day one summer, every day. Like, we got to know each other pretty well. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is valuable, I'm sure, to the hard stuff that you inevitably faced when you said yes. So, okay. I could ask you guys so many questions, but I'm going to transition us to like the point. So this podcast, I think it's cool to like talk to you guys, because persistence culture, the word persistence implies that there's some resistance, right? Like something is in the way, you need to stay the course. And, you know, we're talking about this idea of doing hard things, which similarly, like there's something difficult in the way or that you're in the middle of. And how do we encourage people? Like, the point of this podcast is to encourage people in the middle of it. And people's stories, we think, are the best way to do that, because they provide perspective that like, oh, I'm not alone. Someone else has been through this before. And I might be able to seek out advice or help. And then two, it's going to end. Like, there's some hope that this isn't forever, because that's the temptation in the middle of it, is like, this is my life forever now, like this season or this new thing that I'm experiencing. And so stories are really powerful. And so I'm excited to hear yours. But the way we do it is, what's the hardest thing in your life you wouldn't take back? So and feel free to answer that however you want to. It's it can be answered persistence culture, or it can be answered individually. Totally up to you guys.
I have one.
Go for it.
For me, I was before persistence for me. I had worked very hard. I went to college. I worked very hard on my career. I had, you know, focused so hard on building my resume and got myself into places and positions of high power with, you know, really big celebrities, really, you know, big companies. So for me, the biggest risk, I guess, and I wouldn't even say it's a risk, because risk implies that you're looking to fail. The biggest thing I did for me that I wouldn't take back is that I put my entire career that I built for myself aside to come and build this from the ground up, because I believe in it that much. So that's something that for me was hard to do. Of course, you know, you set aside stability and jump towards your dream.
So okay, Gage, you're gonna have to wait. So Anissa, let's talk about it. So you know, I don't know fully what your career was prior to this and what you were doing, but it sounds like, you know, influence, opportunity, financial security, like all of those things were present, which, you know, a lot of people are seeking, pursuing, wanting in their own lives. So what made it difficult to like leave the financial security, like the, to chase a dream? Cause you know, I think people hear that and they're like, oh, it's a dream. Like, what's the big deal? You knew it was like what you wanted to do. Like, what was hard about that decision?
I think just the unknown of not knowing what was going to happen. At the time, I, you know, supported the household. And so you are, you know, you're taking a risk of the stability, but, you know, it's not a risk if you know you're going to succeed or if you know you're going to work hard to succeed. So that's what I kept in mind. And I think the difficulty was just, you had no idea. I mean, I came in knowing that, like, I don't know what to do. I mean, we have amazing business partners, some of which who have other companies before and experience. And so it was trusting them and knowing that, like, what I don't know, I can learn. And so I think that's what it was for me, just the fear of the unknown. Like,
yeah,
that was it.
So are you somebody, are you like a, I'm not trying to put a label on you, but I'm trying to get at, are you a type A type of a person, like gotta have some control over your circumstances and situations?
Yeah. I am beyond type A.
So that probably played a role, right? Because
majorly,
you're coming into the situation and you're not solely in charge of how it goes.
No, yeah, it's, there's a lot of trust, you know, there's a lot of trust between us partners and just a lot of knowing that, you know, you're going to push yourself to do things you never did and you're going to learn and you're going to grow and you're going to fail and that's okay. And sometimes you're going to fall down, you know, 10 times and you got to get up 11, you know,
yeah.
If that's how that's saying. I don't know how that saying goes, but
yeah, it could be how it goes now. So at the, you know, the point where you said, okay, I'm committed, I'm going in, I'm going to quit. Like what there, I got to believe there is a tug of war in your mind of like, is this the right choice? Like I could do this, but I've done all of this and built this. And like, what was it like to come to the decision, I'm going to quit, and then going at the time where I can't remember, you know, or I actually don't know where you were, who you had to quit with, to start this and like have that conversation, because that was probably the first time that somebody outside your circle, you know, was impacted by that decision and that you had to explain it to them. So like, what was that conversation like and what did it do for your resolve?
Yeah, I was working at the county for the time. That's when I got the opportunity to work for the Board of Supervisors, and I was a district representative, which, mind you, I, like, you know, never worked in politics before. So it was an incredible opportunity to be at the top. And a lot of people would have dreamed to be where I was given. And so that was really hard because I didn't want to not be grateful for the opportunity that I was given. However, talking to my boss at the time, I mean, he also ran a business as well. And I just explained to him that, like, this is an opportunity of a lifetime for me. And I will never know if I don't do it. So he was super supportive, very, very supportive. I still talk to him to this day. And yeah, that was it. It was just like, you don't know if you don't try. And I think that's my like new life motto. You just don't know if you don't try. So you might as well just like do it, even if you're afraid. Because if something doesn't scare you, then like it's not challenging enough. So something it's okay for it to scare you a bit because you know you'll work that much harder to succeed.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how scared were you to make the switch?
I guess I wasn't too scared. I had like partners and stuff in it. So like an 8.
That's pretty high. I mean, there's only 2 numbers above an 8. So
I mean, I wasn't like terrified. I knew we could do it. And I take it back. A 7. 7's my lucky number, so we'll go 7.
Okay. 7 it is. Final answer.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the podcast, please do us a favor and head to your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. It helps a ton. And there's a reason all the podcasts you listen to ask you to do this. We want to continue to encourage people in the middle of their difficult seasons, and your ratings help boost our podcast visibility and the stories of our guests. Did you pause it and leave a review? If so, thank you. All right. Back to our conversation. All right, Gage, what did you get some time to think and remember?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard question, but I would say the biggest thing that I actually don't really talk about very much is leaving school to pursue this. So really actually letting that go and finding this path. And the one thing is I've always wanted to help people. That was kind of one huge thing in my life that personally dealt with and battled through, and a lot of family stuff with like just, I guess, the mental aspect of everything. And so psychology, like I said, leaving that aside and maybe coming back to that in the future was probably one of the hardest things to leave and then pursue persistence culture. And I found a way through persistence to help people, and as well as mentally and physically help them to be a better person and just live a happier life. So.
Yeah. That was not where I was expecting you to go with the, like, I've always wanted to help people. So I thought you were going to say, so I did psychology, and then this was the departure. Yeah. And then you're like, no, this is a great. So talk about, and feel free to say, I don't want to, but talk about what was motivating that, like, in your life? Because I think a lot of people say, I want to help people.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a common thing. But, you know, why people want to help people and how they think is the best way to help people is always different. And so for you, it sounds like, you know, you said mental psychology, like what was kind of underlying that for you, or what was the conviction that that was the best way to help people and why you chose to pursue psychology?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say there's a lot of personal stuff I did had when I was a younger kid and grew up and got to understand. And actually, I'm very thankful that a lot of stuff didn't happen to me, but I definitely got to see a lot of it. For instance, to not go too far in detail, but my parents are divorced and had a lot of issues communicating and just emotionally, a lot of very, very, very serious stuff that kind of was, I would say, a lot of personal stuff that I had got to see when I was a child that I don't really know where I kept a lot of like sane demeanor, meaning like a lot of troubled kids will usually go out and do bad things eventually in life. And I was able to overcome and pass those things and really work on myself and kind of analyze a lot of people and learn from those mistakes. So not more so learning from personal mistakes, learning from the people around me. And that's where kind of the buildup came. There was a lot of just communication errors and just a lot of things that I got to learn from just watching people. And I wanted to kind of extend that to a lot of people around me is like, you don't have to learn from your lessons. You can learn from people around you. You can grow without having that failure or things in that nature. So kind of stuck home with me a lot as I grew up and wanted to really pursue that in school, and psychology and health and fitness came in that picture, and it all just kind of blended and meshed together, and it was a perfect ending.
Yeah. So how many siblings do you have?
I have one. Yes.
One other sibling. Okay. Do they have a similar like motivation to try to help people, or because same home, right? Like you'd think maybe similar outcome or result, but is it the same or what? I'm curious what's unique maybe to you if that's not true.
Yeah. I mean, actually my sister, she's older than me. She's 4 years older than me. She actually got challenged being the older sibling, obviously a little bit more stricter and things like that. But I would have to say motivational wise, we both have that same motivation of helping people. She was a DSP, she worked with special needs kids and had that same interest and all those things. It just, I would actually have to say we're pretty similar in that aspect.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, which is super cool that like, you know, it sounds like a relatively broken home, at least for maybe a season, didn't result in more, it didn't like reproduce that into you guys, at least in like, I guess, super similar ways, right? I'm sure there's like aspects that you guys carried through, but the greater impact was like, hey, we don't, like, how do we like take this that we've learned from and help other people like be healthier, you know, human beings, which is, I mean, there's got to be a, I don't know how to get to it, but there's got to be something in the two of you that you learned or picked up on or is a part of your worldview that like lets you redeem that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think there was, it's pretty, there was this really interesting dynamic that I had in our family that we were, I had very, very fantastic parents, my mom aside and my dad aside, just them together didn't work. And I think that one thing me and my sister got to realize is that if you can be great parents, and they stuck aside and were together for a really long time to make sure that me and my sister got the opportunities and the that drive and that nature to be a good person, singular, like by ourselves. It just, that thing that we wanted to fix is that communication error that my, our parents have, and that we didn't, that we saw, we both got to see and just work on. So,
yeah. So let's go back to, you know, the decision to leave school to start a company. Like, what made that a hard decision, right? Like, obviously you wanted to finish, like you had invested a lot. You've only got 5 credits left or 5 classes, like not a lot, right? That you put a lot of effort in and to walk away from it. But in your own words, like what made that a hard decision?
I think it was the nature of like, I was so invested for it, and I was invested in this and in being a psychologist or in that realm or that field for about, since I was 11 or 12, and I've really wanted to stick to that and hold on to it. And I had dreams of opening up on practice and working in that same, in that way. And I mean, I was 5 classes away. So that was kind of the hardest, like, you know, I don't have time for this right now. I can come back to it. And if I will, which I do hope so. but I think it was just leaving that nature behind and that staple of something that I've wanted to see that I grew up upon. Like I grew up on being a psychologist and not necessarily owning a gym and things like that. And when I saw this opportunity, I found it in a similar nature. I think in the easy side of it is like, well, I still am helping people and I can make it a better life and make them be happier in the long run and work on things as you go. And believe it or not, I do have these personal conversations often. I think that's a surprising thing for a lot of coaches in the CrossFit world, that how close and personal we get with the members, to an extent. That we can help create a lot more positivity in their life.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, and that's honestly not that, like so many people, you can't like separate your mental, emotional, physical health. Like those things are just so intertwined. And so, you know, as you go work on your physical health, you inevitably are addressing your mental, emotional health. And so that, like the conversations are going to be present at some point. Right. And coaches just have this like unique, probably the most influence in someone's life outside of a parent.
Yeah.
Like I think, or a spouse, like you just are given this immense amount of trust that like you're helping somebody better their life. And so it's like, it just makes sense that people would, you know, continue to give you more trust if you, you know, don't like throw it away, you know, in the interactions that you have with people. And it's like a really cool opportunity that you guys get to have. So talking about like psychology versus this and, you know, the 5 credits and walking away, you know, you said a couple of times, like you were 11 or 12 years old wanting to be a psychologist. Like, was there ever a part of you in that decision of like, who am I now? Like, if I'm not a psychologist, like, who am I? Like, and wrestling with some identity type stuff, or were you able to quickly see like, oh no, I'm not a psychologist, or like, that's not my identity. It's just like, I am someone who helps people and make the transition. Or was there a period of time where you were wrestling through like, this is gone. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the one thing that brings to mind with that is that, being a psychologist, you usually get to deal with one person at a time. Like it's either a small, very, very small group or a collective group that you get to be with all the time. And with this side now, I get to hit a lot, the mass amount of people. I get to work on their health in this massive general aspect. We have over near 400 members. Technically, I'm reaching 400 members, and I can strongly say I know everybody's name and everybody's family and everybody's kids and things like that in a very personal way that I can now reach that. And I think that was the hardest thing for me, is that breaking the aspect of one person, now I can go and help multiple people. And for a while when we started, understanding that I have this reach and I have this power to change people's lives in a much bigger way was something cool. And I think that's what helped me break it. And yeah. had multiple communications with, I think, our partners and the partners we have that helped me realize those things. Like, this is something bigger than I expected, and something yeah. bigger that I don't see quite often or yet. And now I do. So,
yeah. Anissa, this is just a funny question, but Anissa, do you ever feel like Gage is like psychoanalyzing you, or like the team, or because I've been around people who, you know, are like philosophers or like thinker type. And it's like, hey, are you thinking, are you analyzing my behavior right now? And I'm not asking that in an insulting way at all. I'm just curious if like that part of your personality comes out in other ways, you know, because you can't necessarily apply it directly in your career right now.
Yeah.
Like, is it still a part of you in your day-to-day interactions, or has it kind of been put on the back burner and the coach side of you is really what's present?
You know what? It's actually, it's pretty cool because it's definitely helped me understand and interact with a massive different amount of personalities. I don't think anybody should be surprised that when you walk into a gym that there's yeah. going to be so many different personalities. So I can strongly say that I get along with a lot of people because I can relate really quick to them, or I can understand them a little bit sooner or quicker. That allows me to be closer or more personal with them. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't say I like analyze them.
Yeah, I know. Are you psychoanalyzing us?
But I
definitely,
yeah.
It's probably like, hey, you're crazy.
But I definitely can get to the point of like, all right, I know how they work and I know how they operate. I can see, I can see them as if they're more closed in or more outspoken, and how I can quickly interact with them without having any trouble. I think that's something I can do pretty well.
Yeah, Gage is a pretty cool person. Like, he does know how to interact with members. And I think, you know, as we talk about finding places for the right people in our company, it was like, when it came to training, Gage, you know, definitely is in the right place there. Like, I love him.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be so great as a coach, you know. I'm way too type A. Yeah. But I'm, you know, in my own arena here, whereas, you know, he's good with the people.
Yeah, no, and that's, again, super valuable to like know your lane and be able to really like maximize your talents and abilities in that lane. Because if you spread yourself thin, right, like you're just doing a disservice to the five of you, the company, and your clients at the end of the day, because you're not giving your best to them, right? You're doing things that are, you're not, your weakness potentially, right? So it's cool that you guys have recognized that.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit from story to advice. Gage, I'm sure you get this opportunity quite a bit. And Anissa, I don't know how much it, you know, creeps in your role with Persistence Culture, but like when you get a chance, or just right now, like people are listening to this podcast who are in the middle of a hard season, like what advice do you have for somebody in a hard thing?
I'd say my advice is that hard seasons don't last forever. I think Gage and I both have gone through some pretty difficult seasons. You just have to know that they don't last forever and have a lot of faith and kind of look at the glass half full. Like, these opportunities or these bad things are not happening to you, they're happening for you. And you can kind of flip the script a little bit. You can flip the script and build off of that and learn from things and be better and do better. So I think to always search for the opportunities in the darkness.
Do you have any practical tips for how to do that?
Think about what you really want. Think about what makes you happy, what you really want. and go for that. Like, you know, if you're not happy where you are, move or change it. I think that's like the biggest thing for me. And don't be afraid to do those things, you know. It can be very scary, you know, because you get so used to what you knew before, but you will never see the beauty in what could be if you don't learn to let go. It no longer serves you.
Thanks for sharing that. Gage, what's your advice?
Well, what was the question again?
What advice do you have for somebody in the middle of a hard season?
It's the best time to grow. I think that's the best thing to put it. I think if you aren't going through something hard, then you have no room for growth and that you won't be able to see what's coming in the future.
Yeah.
I think there's a big thing that if everything's so happy and dandy that you won't see growth. You're gonna live in this moment at this moment where there's just like this easy, relaxed day, and you can't see what's coming in the future. I think with that, the challenges that you might have, the things like Anissa said, as far as like go do something that makes you happy or things like that. I think that's a huge thing. Is like, it might be hard right now. Maybe mentally you're exhausted, but you know what, this is the bottom, and there's a lot of forward to move forward to.
Yeah.
There's just a lot to come. So to me, I've always lived off of the hardship and learning how to make it easier, be better at it. I played baseball for a long time, so going in and out of slumps throughout the years, it's like you have to keep practicing. It's going to come through, it's going to come forward, you're gonna move forward from all this. So
yeah,
like our hashtag, keep moving. So it's that constant thought. It's like,
yeah, it's honestly, like, just keep moving.
Yeah,
like just keep moving, no matter what season you're in, just keep going.
Yeah. And I would say the biggest advice is find, I think we're really lucky. We have a really good team that, and we have enough of us to say, like, if somebody is going through hardship or someone's having struggles, that we all can jump on each other's back and be like, you know what, I need some help here. So,
Yeah, totally. So there's a through line in both of your comments of like optimism, right? It sounds like you guys are both optimists in the sense that like you're looking, because this isn't our natural, I don't think this is our natural state as humans to look at a hardship as an opportunity, right? Like that's not, we're not inherently wired that way, you know? And so you have this optimistic bent. And so if you're talking to somebody maybe who is struggling to see or connect the dots between the valley they're in and the like the positive growth maybe of like this thing that's sitting around them or they find themselves in the middle of, and maybe what's to come, like how do you help people just practically keep moving forward? So it's like, hey, I want to believe that's true. I can't connect the dots right now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, what would be your encouragement to take the next step? Like when you can't see what's on the other side or even get yourself to believe it necessarily in the moment.
I think Gage and I can speak from a lot of experience with this one.
Yeah.
We, you know, went through a big personal change together. I mean, in the midst of starting this company, Gage and I got a divorce from each other. And that is something super hard to go through. So to be able to go through that and come out on the other side together, still as business partners, still as friends, it's like when you're in the midst of it, you don't see that. Your whole life flashes before your eyes of like, we started this together. How do we end this together if we are no longer one? And I think within that, we've both learned that, you know, again, we, you know, just like he said about his parents, they were great parents, just weren't good for each other. I think Gage and I are definitely amazing business partners, great humans, great friends. We just weren't right for each other romantically, and that's okay. And those things are okay. And I think accepting that those are okay and those don't serve us and taking that opportunity to be like, okay, well, this human is still in your life for a reason. You guys built this company together and you guys are stronger for it. So it's like, out of something so dark and so heavy, beautiful things come about. And now Gage and I are both in different, you know, seasons of our life and have new significant others and all of this stuff. And we're both happy for each other. So it's like, if we hadn't gone through that really dark time together, emotionally, mentally, within the business, within our personal lives, we would have never known what it would be like to be sitting here today and the beauty that our personal lives and our career lives would have brought us. So it's literally just, when you allow one door to close, many open, and those are going to be what's better for you, what serves you more. So it's really getting somebody to believe that it's okay that that didn't work out. Like, be okay that maybe something that you planned was not what was in the cards for you.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, one way to do that is like, hey, look, like I kept going and here's what happened. Like the personal testimony of like, you know, it did end and it was hard, like empathy of like, hey, yeah, valleys suck, but like, you can't get out of it if you don't move. Right. And like, you know, having to take the step just as like a natural way to like practically get out of a valley, but,
with hills and valleys, and you'll never get to the hill if you don't work to climb to the top. Yeah. So,
Yeah. Man, there is so much power in relating to people where they're at. And it's hard, like people can't, I don't know if you guys experience this in the coaching side, Gage, but like people can't, it's hard to hear people's advice if you don't feel like they understand you.
Yeah.
And you know, like being able to be vulnerable enough to talk about your valley experiences, like breaks down the walls really quickly. And so it sounds like even like getting someone to take the next step is like, hey, just be vulnerable. Like,
totally.
Hey, I've been there and here's how, like specifically that I've been there.
And yeah.
So I don't know if you guys get to do that much in the coaching side, but I would imagine the opportunity exists.
Yeah. I mean, it comes a lot more than more people expect. You hear a lot more those valleys and why they're there and why they're bettering themselves. And most of the time we actually get them in that step that they're making, like that first initial good step is like, yeah, I'm trying to make a difference for myself. I want to change my health. And this is that first step that I'm going to do. And like you said, health and fitness, like the health and mental side come like this. Like if you're not working on yourself physically, mentally, you're not going to ever be better. And that's kind of the big thing. And it doesn't have to be CrossFit, but it can be anything. So it's pretty cool. There's a lot of relating things that happen out there and get to share a lot of like cool stories and good growth patterns too. So,
yeah. Mm. Well, I appreciate you guys being willing to share some difficult things in your own life. I in no means take those things lightly at all. I think, you know, anytime we get, this is a privilege for me to like get to hear people's stories. Cause it's, you know, it's like the most powerful part of you. And so I'm grateful for you guys being willing to share some details. And I think for other people listening to this, like that's the powerful stuff where they go, oh, like they do get it. And they can like resonate with what you're saying as advice and go, yeah, like if they could do that in that, then I can do that. And like, pick themselves up because like you get it. And so to tie a bow on the conversation, I like to ask this of everybody, you know, like hard things come and go in our lives. And Gage, you said it really well earlier, like if you're not in a hard season, if something's not difficult, you're probably not growing. And like, so the question I like to ask people at the end is, what's a hard thing that you're in the middle of right now?
Go ahead, you first.
I would say it's taking time for my personal self. I think that's one big thing. I've been really into fitness, and that's something like when I started CrossFit, I wanted to pursue trying to get to the CrossFit Games, and with persistence and just busier schedules, it's hard to like set aside some personal time for myself to work on a goal of my personal goal instead of the business goal. So I say that, I think it's setting some personal time aside to actually accomplish something that I really want to or dream of. So.
Yeah. And I will say, if there's any kind of like double unders in there, you'll separate yourself pretty well. Just for everybody to know, Gage did like an insane amount of double unders without missing. It was like 400 or something. So,
like 400 or something, right?
It was like 420 or I don't know. It was a lot.
After
you lose count after a while. So
yeah.
But
I know it was literally right after you ate lunch too. I thought you were gonna barf.
Yeah, it was. Just,
but you did it.
Everybody else would have. So
yeah.
Let me see, you got an answer.
I think navigating a changing industry, you know, we obviously on the apparel end of things, it is kind of like in ebbs and flows. You deal with inventory. It's not like a service. So navigating the current industry and keeping up with marketing trends, I think that's been the most difficult but exciting thing, just learning to pivot in different ways, and, you know, keep revenue flowing in.
So does it, when you think about navigating a changing industry, again, being somebody who wants to have some control, like, is that what makes it tricky and challenging or hard? Is like, it feels a little bit, I always out of reach, because I feel that way, you know, like in marketing and sales, in the fitness world and e-commerce, like, it just always, there's always something new. And I'm like, I'm never like ahead of the curve, you know, I don't know if that's what, you know, you feel, or if it's just like, it's hard work.
It makes me obsessed with like, figuring things out and Googling and like, why are people doing this or what is trending here? So then I get that down this rabbit hole of like, okay, like I figured it all out. We should do this. And then it changes and it's like, okay, that doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, let me figure it out again. You know? So I think I just become obsessed with like, trying to figure out the why. Like I'm a big like, well, why? You know, why? I'm like that 4-year-old or the 2-year-old kid that's like, why mom? Like, I'm always like, well, why did they do that? Why did this work? What, you know? So I do ask myself a lot of those questions. And then I feel like I never am like satisfied with the answer. Cause I'm always like, but why?
Yeah. Well, I would imagine Gage, the why question is a powerful question. Like that's psychologically true. Like that's how you understand your motivations and behaviors. And so, I mean, keep asking why for sure. I think, I wish I did it more than I do. So,
drives
you crazy and helps you at the same time.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I drive the people around me crazy. So I'm like, why? And they're like, figured it out. I'm like, but I don't understand it. Why?
Help me understand. Why do I have to just figure it out? Why can't someone else figure it out? Yeah, it's endless. Yeah. Cool. Well, for everybody who you know, is listening and maybe is curious to like know more about Persistence Culture and what you guys are up to, they want to know where that fourth gym's gonna be, you know, or like they want to hear your podcast, like how can people get involved or connect with you guys in a deeper way?
Through our Instagram, I think, is probably the best way, at Persistence Culture, all one word. It's the best way that you'll be able to kind of see all aspects. I mean, we have a little branched off other social medias, but our main page is the one that people can connect with us, DM us, get schedules, come see us, talk to us. So buy our apparel, buy, you know, get a part of like Mel Eats, which is our meal prep service. You know,
Sweet Fuel bars.
Yeah, collagen based protein bar company. Yeah. Like, I think that will be the hub for everything.
You'll see everything on our main page.
Yeah, there's a lot, but a lot of good stuff, and there's something for everybody. That's for sure.
Awesome. So Instagram, it is. I'll drop that link in the show notes for people so that they can just copy it out and find it. But I'm confident that your guys' story. Both the like founding part of it and getting started as a company, but also just your personal like difficulties are going to resonate with folks. And so hopefully people reach out and ask you questions. You guys are both have been really approachable and great to connect with from my end. So, you know, and you've made that comment a couple times, like you guys are people. So, I'd encourage people to connect with you. But thank you for for being on and sharing some of your story and taking time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having us. This has been fun. This is actually like our first interview together. So we got to, you know, we always, you know, we always listen to the, how I built this and I hit some luck strike and So it's nice to hear that some people do go through hard things in the midst of trying to build something beautiful. So thank you for giving us that opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you are encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.